I didn't go all the way. How about that? That worked. I do a lot better when I turn it on. Wasn't that good? I told you I could mess up something. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Lord, bless your word. Make our time together be very effective today, as we need to be an effective church in this season of life of difficulty that we're living in. If ever we needed that, we need it today. Would you help us, please, now, in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning. I'm a simple preacher, and I'm going to keep it simple. But I, you know, a long time ago, there was a company came out, and they had an easy button. Y'all remember that? And we all like those things that are easy, don't we? Earlier when the sister mentioned about technology, I get left behind. I was born 100 years too late. I call myself a T model in a Tesla world. Okay, that's what I am. But I'll tell you something. The scripture that I just read to you is my favorite place in all the Bible, and here's why. It's where the church started. It's the first century church. They were guests in the culture. Now, we live in North Georgia. We've heard it my entire life. I'm 53 years old. I've heard this my whole life. We live in the Bible Belt. Okay, you've heard that before. But I want you to understand something. That's not really reality anymore. Now, yeah, there's a lot of churches on every corner. In Georgia, you just saw in the Mission Georgia video that there's 3,600 churches as a part of the Georgia Baptist Convention of Churches, affiliated, partnering churches. What that number doesn't tell you is that 7 out of 10 of those churches are not healthy. They're plateaued or declining. Now, that's a terrible term in my opinion. Plateaued is a fake term because something's either living or dying. Wouldn't you agree? Guess what? I skinned my arm, and my wife had to put a Band-Aid on me. I don't know how I did it on the way in, but my skin's getting brittle. You know why? I'm dying. I am. I'm headed. The Bible says about all of us, we're one step ahead of death, okay? And boy, I'm an encourager. Did y'all notice that? I wanted to make sure y'all knew that, okay? But I want to be a reminder to us all. But that's why these essentials for a powerful church are so important. Many of our churches are powerless and anemic and not doing anything for the Lord. When you made the announcements of some things y'all got going on this week, I just want to thank you for helping people. It's very important. You know, y'all got something. I want to try to help you with a different mindset. I want to change your minds about something. I know that from September to November, you get frustrated. I'm sorry, I'm walking out in the front of the camera. I'm going to keep you busy. They pay me by the mile, okay? So I'm going to walk around a lot. No, I'm kidding. Hey, out here in September, October, November, I know it gets frustrating people everywhere. But you know what? You could look at it in a different angle. God is sending people from all different walks of life, from all different spots on this planet, to your front door. And so it's up to you to figure out a way to minister to them and to love them, even when they do get your parking spot. Okay? Love them anyhow. All right? And do something for them that they can't pull out into Highway 52 and leave here without forgetting about Crossroad Baptist Church, ministering to their life and loving them. And maybe some of those people have, you could give them a gospel tract or a bottle of water with your name on it. A lot of things, just simple little things that they could be etched with that would never leave them. And they'd leave here wondering, why did them people do something like that? Well, in my message today, I'm going to get around to preaching my message in a minute, y'all. But there's some things that is in the scripture that I read that are essential elements of being a very effective church in a culture, in a world, in a time that it's just hard to minister to. It's some of the most difficult days right now of ministry. I'm your associational missionary. We have two associations, this one here in Gilmer County, the one in Fannin County. This is a mountain town. The one in Fannin is Morganton. But there's 35 pastors. You know, pray for your pastor. Leading right now is one of the most difficult things that anybody's ever tried to do. I say this, I've got a lot of older mentors in my life as I've pastored for over 25 years. A lot of my mentors have went on to heaven, but some of them are still alive. But you know, when this global pandemic of coronavirus came along, in the past when something happened, I could call one of those guys and say, hey, I'm dealing with this, what do I do? And pretty well all of them had an answer. You can't call an expert in on a coronavirus. Nobody's ever walked in territory like we're in right now. You understand right now that when a pastor says, okay, we're going to call off services, there's somebody on the somewhere saying, where's your faith at? You don't have faith to have services? And then when somebody says, well, we're going to have services, somebody says, why are you putting us at risk? And then when he says, wear a mask, I don't want to wear a mask. And when he says, don't wear a mask, why aren't you making us? He can't win right now. Understand that, okay? And it tires you out and it wears you out and you want to do the right thing, because I know this about your pastor. He loves you and he's trying real hard. So you be an encourager to him. There's some things that need to happen in a powerful church. The first one was evangelism. I've never seen anything like happened right here in Acts chapter 2. I would like to be a part of it. 3,000 people got saved. You talk about when the church grows, you have to make some changes in the way you lead things. When you got 20 people, next thing you know, you got 40, you got to change how you're doing some things. Leadership styles and practices have to be modified and little changes made. Can you imagine what kind of changes had to happen when 3,000 people got saved? Y'all ever had anybody that come into the church that wasn't raised up in the church? I tell this story about everywhere I go. Diane probably gets so tired of hearing it. One of my early on men in my ministry, there's two little boys being raised by their grandsons, by their grandparents. They'd been raised by wolves before that, I think, okay? They were wild, okay? Man, they didn't know how to act to church in church. And Monday I did the funeral for Tom Stanley. His wife, Shovel, Elena Stanley, went to heaven several years back. But she never had any children, but she was the church mama. And I remember that Sunday morning, those two little boys were wild as could be. And I remember Miss Shovel going up and getting them, and she got them by the ears. I'm preaching while it's going on. And she got them by the ears and led them out the back door, and she opened the two back doors of the church with them, okay, and their ears. And she just slammed the doors open with them, and I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, I'm going to get sued. They're going to quit coming to church. They'll never speak to us again. Next time I hear from them, it'll be from their attorney. Mm-mm. She brings them two little boys back in. They sat down with her. They didn't make a sound. After the services, the grandparents came back, just hugged her, said, can they sit with you every week? She said, they sure can. So after church, and preachers are nosy, I couldn't stand it. I said, Jehovah, what did you say to him? She said, let me get you by the ear. I'll take you back there and tell you what I told them. I said, no, I'm good. I'll just take your word for it, okay? But those kind of moments, those little boys later would get saved. They would be baptized. Their lives would be forever changed. They'd never forget. I want you to hear me here. It's very important. They would never forget how much that woman in the church loved them. Okay? That whole family was impacted. So when people get saved and the forgiveness of God comes, it changes us. Now, the Bible speaks here of a spirit of gladness and generosity. But I want to dwell on that gladness in evangelism. Salvation brings us up to the point of baptism, and you can't get that around. And I want to tell you something. When preachers all over our nation, because I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be careful, but I'm going to be real. A lot of preachers have become storytellers instead of gospel preachers, okay? We got to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of it. And if we'll just stand in these pulpits and preach the good old Word of God, people will be saved. And if we'll love people while we're doing that, they'll be drawn to the church, amen? That's what it takes now. But let me show you what happened. Yeah, 3,000 people got saved. You know what happened before that? A little small church. It was about 120 people. The first church got down on their knees. They got alone with God and they prayed for their community. And they were blessed by the favor of God. He showed up and showed out. And when a church comes together, that's when God's power gets to rolling and wonderful supernatural things can happen. Now, let me give you a warning. When God does things in the church, the enemy raises up. He always does. I was on the phone last night with a pastor. They just got through with revival. They had a great revival week in the midst of COVID. Diane and I went to that revival one night. It was a great revival. Good preaching, good worship. Great things happened. And Satan's already at work. Okay? He hates it. So be warned. If God goes to doing something in your midst, the enemy's going to raise his head up. That's evangelism. Second thing is doctrine. Solid teaching. I want to make something very clear here. The Bible says in Psalm 119:89, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. There's a lot of things I don't know about. There's a lot of things I'm uncertain about. Right now, let me tell y'all personally something, okay? Diane and I are about to be grandparents. At Easter, I had my daughter and son-in-law. If y'all remember us being here, well, they're going to have us a grandbaby. That's the thing that makes it worth putting up with a son-in-law. Did y'all know that? He's a great young man, and I love him. But you know, they've had the testing. They know what the baby is, and they won't even tell me what it is. I'm madder than fire, y'all. Okay? These things I just don't know about. I want to know, okay? So I told my daughter, I said, you know, I need to know if it's a boy or a girl. But Mother Mike, I've got a blue tractor for the little boy, but if it's a girl, I got to paint one pink. You can't do that overnight. I need some time here, okay? And so there's just things that I don't know about. But there's some things I'm sure about. I don't have to worry about the Word of God. It's settled. And there was, in this first century church, they're not far out, y'all, from the very words of Jesus rolling off of his tongue and his voice, and it's fresh on the minds of people. And then they were having conversations with sinners, people in the culture. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day that you would have never dreamed. I was so thankful earlier, just a few days back, and I don't want to get into politics, and I'm not. But life is more than a political issue. And just a few days ago, a week and a half or two weeks ago now, our Supreme Court sided with Texas and said, if you sense a heartbeat, you can't do an abortion. And man, I'll just tell you, you can get mad at me if you want to over that. If somebody decides to kill my little grandbaby, they got a problem. They got an old hateful preacher to deal with here and a human. I don't want you to do that. But I don't want that to happen to any human being, okay? And so, and then I find out just a few days later, so I'm just being real here, that our Attorney General for the United States of America has filed suit against Texas and challenging what the Supreme Court has already said. We're not going to deal with this anymore. This is settled. And so you understand, evil is never going to stop, okay? And they're never going to be satisfied. Even if they got what they wanted here, evil's belly will never be. You don't forget what I'm telling you. Evil's belly will never get satisfied. It'll want more and more and more. Now, the culture that they were dealing with and the one that you and I are dealing with, you can't blame them. They don't know any different. They're sinners. Do you know what sinners do? They sin, and they're good at it. They don't know any better until they're brought to an awareness of the holiness of God and His character and His love and His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. Now, that puts us at odds many times with the culture. Let me just warn you here. That's going to put you and I at odds with our government. That's going to put you and I at odds with some laws in our land. I'm already at odds with them. The Word of God says, "Thou shalt not kill." Okay? I'm at odds with that when we say it's okay. And so I didn't mean to get us off in there. If you want to get mad at me, my email is richardjones.com, okay? No, please, I promise you, I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm not looking down my nose and saying I'm better than some. I'm not saying that at all. I just don't want any little babies murdered while I'm living and while I'm in ministry. If you want to fault me for that, just go right on ahead, okay? But I just don't want that to happen. And I think we need to make a very deep commitment as the people of God to come out against those kind of things. And I appreciate you mentioning the Christian Learning Center. I think we need to support organizations, and thank you for doing that and promoting that. And we have to got to make a difference through the Word of God. I remember just a few years back, and I talked to this young man this week. I baptized an adult man. He's roughly about 40 years old. He's a multimillionaire. He's a financial genius. Owns multiple companies. He got saved. Recently, they've had a new child. He's got four little girls, and I needed something he had this week, and I asked him, he's got a junkyard full of cars, and I went over there, probably where I skint my arm, got a piece off one of those cars. He said, "You can have anything I got, even them four little girls." I said, "No, I just want a piece for my Volkswagen. I don't need any more little girls, okay? Got plenty of those." But I talked to him. I was baptizing him in a few weeks before this conversation happened several years back. And I told him, I said, "Son, if you ran your companies like your church attendants, you'd be bankrupt." Boy, you talk about a hard conversation to have. Sometimes when we follow the doctrine of the Word of God, we have to have some hard conversations. Since then, I took a risk because I knew that possibly I could drive him away. I was trying to disciple this young man, and I got to do a lot of that. But I took a chance on driving him away from me. But now he loves me for having the hard conversation. And let me say that to all of you. There are going to be people that you can disciple, and you're going to have a hard conversation along the way at times with those people, okay? And so it's just solid teaching leads to hard conversations. But I want you to hear something that I'm going to tell you that you need to be reminded of. You can never go wrong with the truth. Okay, when you give people the truth, it'll always work. Even if at the moment they may get angry with you. And so, because the Word of God is settled in the heavens. Now, the Bible has to be our standard. And I'm thankful. Let me tell you this. In our two associations, I'm thankful for the good, solid preachers of the Word of God in our churches, and I'm thankful for them. I pray for them. Pray for your pastor. Pray for our churches. There's some things that our culture needs to hear and know from us. I've got some things in me that are just non-negotiables. I'll give you these. These are mine. You develop your own. But for me, doctrinally, I've got some non-negotiables. One of them is the inspiration of Scripture. That Bible that you carry around is inspired by a holy God. It's God-breathed, y'all. It's alive. We're about to go in October. We're going out west where your pastor is. But a couple years back, we were going, I can't remember if we were going to Montana or Alaska. And I'm going through the airport, and I forgot to pull my belt off. And I had my shoes on, and I'd forgot both those things. And the security guy at the airport said, "Preacher, you forgot to take your belt and shoes off." He said, "But go on through." You could have knocked me over with a feather. I didn't have a card that said Reverend. I didn't have a sticker on that said I'm a Baptist. There was absolutely no way this man knew I was a preacher. I'd never seen him before. He'd never seen me. It was a God moment. Diana, tell you, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I guess he didn't want me to pull my belt off. It was so big, y'all, okay? It took a while, all right? I don't know what it was. But I'm just telling you that God will help his people. I just believe he inspired the Scripture. I had my Bible in my bag. Maybe he saw that in the scan as it went through. That thing was sharper than a two-edged sword. He might have thought I had a weapon in there, okay? I don't know. But I believe in the inerrancy and the perfect Word of God and its inspiration. I believe in the deity of Christ. You know, there's people out here promoting the garbage that Jesus was a sinner, that he was this and he was that. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ was. When I quit believing this, I leave my Bible here and I'll never come back, never bother you anymore. But I believe that God's Son was perfect. I believe he never sinned. I don't believe he ever even came close, okay? It wasn't capable for God to sin. Now, he became sin for us. We know that. But he didn't sin. Wouldn't you agree with me that this morning? We got to agree on that. Here's the third one for me. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals, you wouldn't believe the lake upon lake upon lake of reservoirs it would take to hold the blood that of animals that were killed and sacrificed trying to cover our sin. But one day on a hill called Calvary, Jesus Christ died for my sin and your sin. One time, one man, his sacrifice, his blood, covered mine and your sin. That ought to make a Baptist shout right there, okay? That's good, okay? God's Son bled and died. He became the atonement, the complete and fulfilling payment for mine and your sin, the blood atonement. The fourth thing is, I believe in salvation by grace through faith. It's the grace of God that we live in a season and a time in our lives when we can be saved. One of these days, the Lord's coming back, and that's my last thing. I believe in the return of Jesus Christ. I don't know the timing. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Let me tell you what I do know. If somebody tells you they know when it's going to happen, run from them. They're a lunatic. Okay? Because, listen, the Bible is real clear. God's not even going to tell the Son. I'm going to make this statement, and you need to remember this. This will be the greatest moment, the most memorable moment ever in the history of the world. It's a God-sized moment for God-sized glory. He's going to be glorified, and I can promise you nobody will steal that moment of thunder from our God, okay? And so only God will know. But Jesus is going to come back. And when he does, the grace gateway will be closed. Now, we look and see that There'll be some people saved after the return, just a handful. But I want to tell you something. It's going to be real hard. Because we got something right now that'll be leaving here when the Lord comes back, the Holy Spirit. He draws us. How in the world would you get saved without Him? Okay, when I got saved, He drew me to Himself. He glorified the Son, and I got saved. Now, I can't explain all that, but I know it happened. And so the third thing I want to move on from doctrine is to fellowship. I'm glad I didn't tell y'all this won't take very long. Aren't y'all good this morning? I'm going somewhere, I promise. The third factor is fellowship. I want to give you a homework assignment. I'm not going to bore you with reading it, but Ephesians 4:1-6. This is a very strong passage on us being in peace and unity. Ephesians 4:1-6. Sometime this week, just read over that a few times. It'll be good for you. But I'll tell you, we need fellowship through the Lord. And it's much more than food. Let me make this clear. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? We got to get along. Me and Diane's been married 31 years. A preacher said one time, a friend of mine, he's in heaven now, Buster Abercrombie, said he heard this preacher say, him and his wife never argued. And Buster looked at me and he said, that man will lie about other things too. Okay? Every now and then, me and Diane don't see eye to eye. We'll have a difference, but we try to get it worked out. Most of the time, we do a pretty good job of that. But you got to be in fellowship. That's very important in the church. Now, think about that. If it's hard for just two people to be in fellowship, imagine the body like this and all of our different ideas and notions and opinions. You know what that takes? A whole lot of yielding. A whole lot of preferring our brother, our sister. A whole lot of, sometimes I call it this at the office, at your association, or when I pastored in leadership, every now and then I had to do something I didn't want to. Here's what I called it. I'm going to take one for the team. Y'all with me? Y'all understand it? I may not totally agree with it, but it's for the good of the ministry. And I'm going to take one for the team, and I'm going to roll with it. And so sometimes you may not like that, but it's reality. We have to yield our ways sometimes, and it's hard to do. But the trademark, let me make a quote for the day. The trademark of a powerful church is the size of its love. Now, when I say that, I want to tell you something. That's not our love. I can run out of mine pretty quick. How about y'all? But when I'm filled with the Spirit of God and His love, I've got love. So if there's love for the sinner, there'll be plenty of love for the saint. The church, and I've known some churches like this that don't have any love. They're all business. And they're dry and they're cold. And let me just be honest with you. I don't want any part of them. A church that don't love people, I don't need to be there. How about you? I want to be part of one that loves folks. The fourth thing is relationship. They're doing something very Baptist right here. Somebody brought a casserole to this meeting, y'all. Okay? They's eating together. And it's relationship. It's important. Boy, isn't it hard right now? You come in here, I don't know where to give you a fist bump or shake your hand. I'd like to just grab you up and hug you. When this thing gets over, I'm just going to have a drive-by hugging, y'all. It's hard. We're used to it. And honestly, somebody said, well, if Jesus is here, he'd social distance. And somebody said, well, what are you going to do about him touching the lepers? Hello. And so that is a reality. But it's hard to do the things that are relational right now. And so we just got to work through that. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't take me there. I don't have all the answers. But relationships hold us together, okay? And we're, God built us, I believe this with all my heart, to be relational. There's times as I get older, and Diane, don't you give an amen and a shout right here, I'm a grouchy old man. that I want to be left alone and don't want to be bothered by nobody. Does anybody else ever get there? Okay, I see some hands. Some of you are pointing at your loved ones. Please don't do that, okay? I didn't come to cause contention. I'm just coming to say, honestly, sometimes I want to be alone, but then there's moments that I know I need the relationship of the church and God's family. And so, you know, there's times when that being a public servant of God, because can I tell you, you all are, not just the preacher, not just the elders, not just the leadership, every person at Crossroad is a public representative of God. You have an opportunity when you go out in a restaurant to have a prayer, and people see that and say, wow, okay, they love God. And so I'm going to move down. The fifth thing is prayer. Now, one of the heroes of my generation in preaching was Adrian Rogers, and I love what Adrian said about prayer. He said, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. I went in a church several years back, and they'd just put in about a $50,000 to $60,000 upgrade in their technology. And in today's world, that don't take much anymore. But I said, while y'all are doing that, how about have the Adrian Rogers voiceover put in for me? That'd be all right. They didn't do it. But prayer is such a vital element in the lifeline of our church. We do something in our association I'm very thankful for. Miss Angie helped me with this. And every week we take one church from this association and one church from the Morganton Association. And you're on the board in the office that week. And every time I walk by, I'm reminded to pray for the church and the pastor and the staff and the people. And it's good for us just to be praying for our churches. And so I'm thankful for that. And we ask you to pray for us in the association, because, boy, we're trying to do some things that make a difference. And I'll talk a little more about that next week. But the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay? So it's very important that we pray in your community right here in Gilmer County. There's people that need praying for. I appreciate the sister's testimony of a school that wants to call the teachers together to pray. How long will we get to do that? We better run through that doorway while it's open, y'all, okay? Just some elements this morning that I wanted to talk to you about a powerful church, because here, I told you I'm simple, okay? But the things I've mentioned, they're not impossible for any of you to do. They're very doable, okay? And if I want you to hear me, if you'll do these things, God will bless it. If you'll do these essential things, the church will be powerful. I mean, here's what we've done in the past in the Baptist church. No, let's don't pray. Let's gossip. Let's don't pray. Let's grumble. Let me tell you something. If something goes on you don't like and you take it to the Lord in prayer, it's hard to gossip about it. It's hard to grumble about it if we just go to God and say, God, I don't know. Maybe you don't even agree with it. That's okay. It's all right. But go to God with it instead of grumbling and complaining. Amen? And let's come together. We in 2021 and 2022 rolls in here, we need to see powerful churches that are making a difference, that are doing evangelism, that are solid in doctrine, that have fellowship, that have relationship, and are known for being powerful in prayer. So I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to have our hymn of invitation right now, and I'm going to ask y'all to come, our music team. I'm going to ask you to join me in standing in our invitation. And I want to invite you, if you want to come up here and kneel down and pray, you can. You can pray right where you are. But I want to invite you to to say this morning. If you are, in fact, a born-again Christian, a part of this church, I want to ask you to go to the Lord this morning and ask Him to let you be a part of being a powerful church in Gilmer County and to the ends of the earth. Let me say this to you. If you're here today and you've never been saved, then this morning you're in luck. You're in the right spot. God can save you. The precious blood of Jesus can wash away your sins this morning. If you need to be saved, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'm sure any of the leadership would be glad to speak with you. I will not embarrass you, but I would like to tell you about how wonderful it is to be saved. As we sing this morning, the hymn of invitation,